In 1 John 2, if you look down at verse number 10, you kind of get the theme here of this passage. It says in verse number 10, he that loveth, 1 John 2:10, give you a second to get there. 1 John 2:10. It says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Sometimes I think it's good, and we probably don't do it enough, just to read passages together. So let's do that. Let's just read this together, if we could. Look at verse number 9. Let's begin there, and let's read 9 and 10 together. All right, let's read this together. You ready? Say it with me. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You know, people can hurt you and disappoint you and do, you know, be rude and obnoxious and people can really stab you in the back and all those things. We all know that. People are people. And not only has it been done to us, we've probably hurt people ourselves in our lives. We've hurt other people. We've disappointed other people. Sometimes we like to dwell more on how we've been hurt rather than how we've hurt others. But I'm sure it's been on both ends of the spectrum for all of us in here. None of us are perfect. We all let people down. We all disappoint others, and we've all been disappointed by other people. But nevertheless, despite that reality, God commands us to love. Not a discriminating type of love, you know, just loving the people that I like and loving the people who are nice to me, but God's calling us to an unconditional, unqualified love for each and every person. A Christ-like love that caused the Lord Jesus Christ to die, as we're going to observe tonight, caused him to die for those that cursed him, those that mocked him, and those that put him upon that cross and killed him that day. And you know, this passage is an awesome passage because it talks a lot about love. In fact, the whole passage here is about love and about hate, love and hate. And really, it's a choice. Every day you make a choice whether you're going to be full of love or full of hate. And if you're full of hate, please take this in the right way. But really, there's nobody to blame but the person that looks at you in the mirror. If your heart's full of hate, you got to eventually come to the point where you realize that's your choice. You have chosen to hate. You have chosen to not love. You have chosen to hold on to bitterness. You have chosen to hold on to past hurts and not let go of them. And there comes a point where we have to look in the mirror. And we have to realize that we are the way we are because we choose to be that way. And God is calling you, though, to something greater. He's calling you to something higher. He's calling you to something divine and supernatural. Anybody can hate. Anybody can hate. It doesn't take much to hate. Anybody can get bitter and mad. That don't take much to do that. But it takes supernatural, divine power and enablement to be able to love. And that's a choice that we all make, whether we were going to love or whether we're going to be bitter and hateful people. If in verse 10 really spoke to my heart, because as I look at verse 10, it says, look at it with me. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Now look at the rest of that verse. When you love, it says there is none occasion of stumbling in him. When we love others, it leads to obedience in other areas of our Christian life. If a person is loving others, he's abiding in the light. When I love, I'm abiding in the light. And the Bible says there is none occasion of stumbling in him. That, of course, is talking about stumbling into sin, stumbling into disobedience. In fact, if you look up the word occasion, if you look up that phrase where it says phrase, the occasion of stumbling. If you look it up, it's the Greek word scandalon. It's where we get the English word scandal. He says there's none occasion of scandalous behavior, if you will, in him. When you love, there is no scandal. In other words, when you love, and it also, if you look up that word scandalon, that Greek word also means, it carries the idea of stepping into a trap, stepping into a snare. So he says when you love people, it keeps you from being ensnared. When you love people, it keeps you from stumbling into Satan's traps that he wants so much to get you to step into. It kind of reminds me of what Paul said, and I want you to keep your bookmarker here, and I want you to go to Romans real quick, chapter 14, Romans 14, and let's turn over there to that book, Romans 14. We're going to read a few verses here about love. Romans 14. All right, and actually 13, my bad. Romans 13, verse 8. Romans 13, 8. I actually had it wrong in my notes. I put 14 in my notes. That's where it pays to know your Bible, amen. I'm like, I know where it's at, and 14 isn't it. All right, look at 13, verse number 8. It says, owe no man anything but to what? Love one another. For he that loveth another, it's interesting, hath fulfilled the law. For this, and then he starts naming some of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness, lie. Thou shalt not covet, you know, wanting what other people have. And if there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying. Namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the, say it with me, fulfilling of the law. Love is the fulfilling of the law. If you love, you fulfill the law. It isn't a legalistic thing. It's a very natural thing. In other words, if you take all of God's commandments and all of his laws, you put them in a nutshell, it comes out, love one another. If teenagers love their parents, they will obey and honor them. Parents say amen. Amen. Husbands. Oh, boy. If you love your wife, you'll be true to her and you'll sacrifice for her. Wives, if you love your husbands, you'll want to be there for him in all the different ways that only you can be there for him. If you love your neighbor, you won't want to steal from them. If you love your neighbor, you don't want to covet what they have. You're happy for what they have. You don't want to want it. You're happy for them. If you love your neighbor, you don't harbor bitterness and wrath against them. If you love, listen, why are our jails and prisons overflowing? There is an absence of loving one another in our culture. Would you guys agree with that? When you love others, you don't want to lie about them. When you love others, you don't want to talk behind their back. You don't want to steal from them. You don't want to kill them. You don't want to rape and molest them. When you love someone, you don't want to treat them that way. Did you know there's over 20 one another commandments in the New Testament? For example, the Bible, some of those one another commandments I'm talking about are, the Bible says, prefer one another. The Bible says, be of the same mind one toward another. Do not judge one another. Receive one another, admonish one another, edify, build up one another, bear one another's burdens, be kindly affectioned one to another. If I love God and I love other people, then what happens is that I will obey those commands instinctively without having to sit and contemplate, you know, how I'm going to respond. My obedience will spill forth from my Christian love for you. So it's not something that I have to work up. It's not something that I have to be like, oh no, here comes Pastor Rich. Let's see, here he comes. Let me get out my phone. I got my list. Okay, I need to prefer him. I need to be nice to him. I need to, you know, and I start reminding myself of all the one and other commandments as I see Rich coming, you know. No, I need to edify him. I need to care for him. I need to bear his burdens. No. If I love Rich, I am going to instinctively do those things. Does that make sense? Amen? Y'all with me? There, you know, give you an illustration. By law, parents are to take care of, and they're to ensure proper care of their children. Child neglect is a serious crime. But parents, you do not care for your children and fulfill your responsibilities to your kids out of law. You do it out of love. In other words, you've never probably had a conversation where the alarm goes off in the morning and your wife says to you, honey, you better get up and go to work, and you better make sure that you go to work and so that you can put food on the table. I mean, you don't want to get arrested for not taking care of the kids. And then he says, yeah, honey, you better get up too. You better get breakfast for the kids and you better get their clothes ready. The cops might show up and put us both in jail. And then she says, yeah, you're right. Boy, it's a good thing they have a law or we just sleep all day. Have you ever had that conversation? Please tell me nobody's had that conversation. It's very doubtful. I'm just being honest. It's very doubtful that fear of the law is the motive behind you living for your children, caring for them, making sure their needs are met. Parents fulfill their responsibilities to their children because they love each other and they love their children. They do the right thing, and it's not a matter of law, it's a matter of love. And it's the same way in our Christian walk. When we truly fall in love with each other on our knees, then what happens is we don't treat one another right, and we don't obey God's commands because we have to. We don't do it because God commands it. We obey out of love. What a wonderful thing when that happens. You know, it's like in your marriage. Those of you who are married, you know, husbands, no longer is it the attitude, well, I better nourish and cherish and treat the old battle axe right because God said I have to. Wives, it's no longer, well, I better treat the old coot with some respect because God says I'm supposed to. No, it comes out of a Christ-filled love. See? And let me tell you something. You can try to get that love for each other in counseling, and there are definitely times when couples just kind of reach an impasse and they need an outside third party to help them work through some problems and issues, and I get that. I completely understand that. But I'm telling you right now, the best place to fall in love with your spouse is on your knees, praying for them, asking the Lord to fill your heart with a greater love for them. Loving others leads to obedience in every other area of our Christian life. But let's look at verse number 11. Go back to 1 John and chapter 2, and I want to just look at one more verse tonight. 1 John 2:11. It says, but he that hateth his brother, I'll give you a second to get back there. 1 John 2:11. It says, but he that hateth his brother is in what, church? Darkness. And walketh where? In darkness. And knoweth not where he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. How many of you guys have ever heard the expression, love is blind? Raise your hand. Love is blind. Love is blind. We've probably said that, right? You know, you're talking about two people and they're in love and you're like, oh, well, love is blind. Did you know that's not true at all? That is not true. When we love, we are walking in the light and things look brighter and brighter the more we love. What did we read in verse 10? Look up at verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the what? Love is not blind. It brings brightness. It brings light. When our hearts are full of hatred, when our hearts are full of bitterness and animosity and unforgiveness, all that yucky stuff, when your heart gets full of all that garbage, what happens is we're blinded. Listen, we're blinded. We are blinded. We walk in darkness, the Bible says. And he says he knows not where he goes. How many of you guys have ever been in a strange place that's dark? What happens when you're in a totally dark house or someplace like this at night, and you're in a place that's unfamiliar and it's completely dark? What ends up happening? I know what happens to me. You end up hurting yourself, right? That's right. Xander, you ever been in here when it was pitch black? You don't want to be either. There's a lot of stuff to trip over in here. And I've done it, you know. And I tell you what, Denise can tell you that I'm a klutz. I am. And you know, it took me a long time to realize that. But I'm a klutz. You know, those of you that were in the 11:15 service have gotten really entertained the last 2 weeks. You know the illustration where I was talking about Peter and I was sitting on that stupid stool? That stool's got a demon in it. I know it does. And I was sitting, I'm not going to illustrate because it'll happen again. But you know, I got to get used to no carpet and wood up here. It's slick up here. I had that chair in the 11:15 service last week, and I put my feet behind me like, you're not washing my feet. And when I did, the chair went right out from under me. And I fell hard on my backside. At first, everyone in the congregation was like, and then I looked over at Denise and I said, I did it just the way I planned it, didn't I? And one of the kids told Clint on the bus, or Caleb, or someone, one of them told, was it you they told? They said, yeah, he tried to act like he did it on purpose, but we don't think he did. Well, they were right. I didn't mean to. Well, then this morning I had the bedroll, and I didn't have anyone to help me in the 11:15 service. I used my two sons in the early one. I didn't want to pick on anybody. And so I was the man on the bedroll. And when he said, rise up, take up your bed and walk, well, I rose and took up my bed and fell. That bag went right out from under me, you know. So anyway, the 11:15 service has had a lot to laugh about. He knows not where he goes. That's how I got on that. When you're in a dark room and you don't know where you're going, you're going to get hurt. Inevitably, you're going to get hurt. And you know, they say love is blind, but I got something else to say based on the authority of God's word. Hate is blind. Hate is blind. Hate blinds you. When we become full of bitterness and hatred, we begin making wrong turns. We begin making bad decisions. We begin hurting ourselves. We begin hindering our Christian walk. By the way, when you're bitter at somebody, who do you hurt the most? Yourself. If we lose our love, then we've lost everything. There's nothing left. You can do all the right things. You can believe all the right stuff in this book. But if you do not love others, then all is lost. Isn't that what 1 Corinthians 13 teaches? It teaches that you can have great gifts. You can be eloquent. You can have all kinds of amazing service, and you can have all knowledge, but if you don't have love, he says, you've got nothing. Nothing. But when I choose to love, even those I don't like, I'm walking in the light, and I'm the ultimate winner. Why? Because light keeps me from stumbling and getting hurt. Denise can tell you, first thing I do is turn the light on when I'm in a room. I mean, my own house. I know how I am. When I go in the garage, first thing I just stand at the edge of the garage and I just say, I'm not moving until the light goes on. Because I know I'm going to hurt myself. Love helps me to see where I'm going. Helps me not to hurt others. Love helps me to grow. Love brightens up things. When your heart is full of love, you're always experiencing some new joy. You know, because the fruit of the Spirit is, what does the Bible say? The fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first thing? Love. What's the second thing? Joy. What's the third thing? Peace. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you love, which brings joy, and then it leads to all that good stuff. Peace in your heart, contentment. You become more patient person. You become a person that's gentle and good. You become a faith-filled person. You become temperate under that control of the Spirit. It's wonderful. It brightens things up, and it all begins with love. And did you know that through Christ, you have the power to love anybody? Let me say that again. Through Christ, you have the power to love anybody. I don't care how obnoxious they are. You have that power to love them. Doesn't mean you approve of everything they do. It doesn't mean that you, just put up a stamp of commendation on all the choices they make, but you love them. Christ loved people who were very unlovable. Would you guys agree with that? Amen. Tonight we're here to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And the bread represents his body that he gave on the cross, and the cup represents the blood that he shed for us on the cross. And Jesus Christ loved the unlovable. Jesus Christ loved all different kinds of people. He loved people who hurt him deeply. He loved people who disappointed him. He loved people who were mean and nasty and hateful. Jesus Christ loved all different kinds of people. He loved publicans. He loved sinners. He loved demon-possessed people. He loved handicapped people. He loved religious leaders. He loved rich people and poor people. He loved common people. He loved rulers. He loved babies and children. He loved older people. And it was a love that led him to a cross. What a display of love on the cross. In fact, let's go to 1 John real quick, chapter 4, and just flip over a page there. 1 John 4, 9 and 10. And I want to just kind of close out with a few verses here. 1 John 4, 9. It says, in this was manifested the what? The love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This Jesus and all the love that he has, all that great love that Jesus had, even for those who crucified him, the good thing about it is this Jesus and all of his love dwells in you if you're a Christian. You can grieve it. You can quench it. You can push it back. You can choose to walk according to the flesh. That's why I say if you're a Christian and you don't love, there's nobody to blame but yourself, because you have Christ living in you who enables you to love. He enables you to be filled with his love, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He loved me and gave himself for me, so now I can love because he lives in me. Let's end with 1 John 5, chapter 5, verse 20. What a great verse. 1 John 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come. Talking about Jesus. We know that the Son of God has come, and he's given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Isn't that a great verse? Because Christ has come, he says, he's given you an understanding that we may know him that's true. That we're in him that's true. We're in him. He's in us. It means I can love. I can love. And it's no more, you know, it's like Paul said, it's no more I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. We could say, it's no more I that loves. Man, it's Christ that loves in me. It's Christ that loves in me. What a Savior. And it's all because of what he did for us on the cross.